I was thinking of giving a talk about, as already mentioned, about computers. In general, Paraflows, great, yes, whatever. Okay, the talk is called, I can count every star in the heavens above, but I have no heart, I can't fall in love. It's the image of computers in popular music. So, first of all, and I can see that from your looks and from my look, you're all computer nerd assholes. I like you. I'm one myself. So we all stupid computer nerd assholes who are interested in computers. That's what we are. And we like the computer. We like computer culture. We like reflecting computer culture. And we like reflecting culture that is reflecting computer culture. That's why we are here. And so when I was asked myself to speak here in front of this most predictable audience, I was thinking about how to carry Eulen nach Athen, how we say in German. There is a really good British version of that, how to carry coal to Newcastle. Okay, so it's a foolhardy or pointless action to tell people that computers are important and that we should think about it, and especially about the history of computers. Well, okay, the best call to bring here could be to talk about computers and, of course, reflect it through popular music. I bet you like popular music. I guess some of you might actually also like classical music, and some of you might like classical music but also pop music. But there's one factor: pop music and pop culture is important. And I have an introductionary jingle. It's a new version, or it's a remix version of Kraftwerk, Computerwelt. Let's listen to that. Song I want to present you, and that's more like a shock treatment now for you, is by an Austrian a pop singer, Austropopper, by the name Uli Beer. And Uli Beer did a really interesting job in the late 1980s, early 1980s, and he made a song for a corporation called Commodore, and he sang about his favorite computer, that's Uli Beer. He's still around, and he's doing songs for political parties and stuff like that. He's like this classic B-level of Austropop. And he sang about Amiga. Ich hab an Amiga, I've got an Amiga, okay? So, for the non-German speakers here, I have subtitles for all the German songs I'll be playing today. So let's listen to Uli Beer and his Amiga. Commodore den Amiga. Was
sie ganz genau, die hängen immer vor dem Telefon. Und im Augenblick ist mir ein klarer Kopf, und er rächert mir. Also Leid und Ansicht nur, darum Freunde an sich vor. Am Liga mit dir bin ich erste Liga, am Liga mit dir bleib ich immer wieder Sieger.
Let's stop that. Very important. It does what I wanted to do. Estudei uma vez, você viu, amigas. Now, whatever. Okay, amigas, fun, amigas, really cool, badass, great, awesome, super, extraordinary, levant, levant. That's, I guess, there's no translation for amiga is levant. It's badass, great, awesome, super, extraordinary. Of course, this song was written by Uli Bear because he got lots of money for that, I guess. Yeah. So he didn't do it because he thought it's I have to do that. I have like a passion to sing about amiga. No, it was of course ordered, and that's the difference between this song and all the other songs I will play for you, because the other songs are real artistic expressions of like the urge, the need to talk about computers. And of course, the urge and need to make money with interesting topics. So don't be afraid. It was only a shock treatment before the real show. And now I want to thumb through the Monochrome record collection and find some exciting and hilarious stuff to rejoice after a hard day talking about theory. But then again, before you... the Amiga, it's so nice. But before that, I have to tell you that I really have to tell you a little bit of theoretical embedding, because if I would just play the songs, I would feel completely stupid, and it makes it a little bit worthwhile to reflect about that songs. So let's start with this interesting term called pop culture. The so-called pop culture came up in the late 1940s, and I hope we can pretty much agree on that. And if we understand it as a certain youth culture, it started with white rock and roll taking African-American music from the peripheries to the center of cultural industries. Young people all over the world, or at least in the Western part of it, got hit by this new experience of pop culture and pop music. They got hit so hard that they derived their very own culture from it, the so-called youth culture. It became a culture that stuck with them all throughout their lives, and each follow-up generation up to date joined in. So, interestingly, that's what we have now. Almost nobody that did not live through the experience of pop culture. So we are a culture, we are people who do not know anything else than pop culture, or culture being reflected through pop culture. It's interesting that to a certain extent, pop culture, youth culture, subversive culture won, and now we are all youth culture, we're all subversive culture. We all, at the same time, mainstream and subversion, and that's a very frightening experience many young people make nowadays. So how can we subvert something that's actually mainstream subversion? So what could we do? During this process that pop culture took over the cultural main powers of definition from bourgeois high culture, the culture class war was won, so that today we find pop culture implemented as the famous mainstream and the no lesser famous establishment. So there's pop culture is mainstream and establishment nowadays. And we're all part of it, and some people don't like that, but there is no way fighting it. But we should at least try to act surprised by this whole thing, to at least keep a little bit of our dignity. But how could pop culture, and especially pop music, as one of its main fields, come into the position to do so and to beat bourgeois high culture on the battlefield called culture? So why did pop culture win? One possible answer would be that it was far more capable and fit, in a very Darwinist sense of the word, of coping with the evolution of bourgeois technologies since the 1950s. Pop culture was really good in adapting new cultures, and high culture always tried to save the violin, and whatever other things. So high culture was always a conservative culture because it tried to sustain the status quo. And pop culture was always interesting in new stuff in a very Adorno sense of Kulturindustrie, that they were always interested in finding new things to sell new things. High-end educational bourgeois culture simply had been overrun by modern technologies since the beginning of the 20th century, and it didn't get a break. It even got worse after World War II. Technology threatened to demolish and break through the traditional class barriers, barriers that were kept up through great culture, high culture, or the culture of value, Hochkultur. The ruling cultural elite has the job to maintain and to fortify, to janitor, or let's say to Nostradam, and to be the bouncer of cultural class barriers. That's why high culture is so important for establishment, because it kind of maintains, they want to maintain the control of what is art and what is not art, what is good and what is actually just like the E-Musik, U-Musik, as we call it in German. So there is a clear interest from a ruling bourgeois elite to kind of have a Distinktionsmacht, a power of distinction. So the bourgeois culture, they needed to understand what was going on, and they needed to sort out what should become part of culture and what not. So there were people, institutions, and to a certain extent it's still the same, that there are people, feuilleton, people writing for magazines, try to define and establish certain categories or certain ways to define, okay, that's cool, you know, after like 20 years of trying, Schlingensief is accepted as high culture, and I don't know, Gab or not. But who does this? It's just like a way of definition. So the interesting thing is that in the 1960s, especially through technology, TV, all that stuff, bourgeois high culture started to hyperventilate. It started to hyperventilate, but there was so much stuff going on. There was so much sorting processes to do and so much new definitions to be made that they couldn't get like their asses and their shit and their stuff together, because it was so fast. The pace was going faster and faster and faster and faster. So bourgeois culture itself started to hyperventilate. It lost its traditional coolness and became pretty awful. So so they produced very stupid technophobic manifestos and images, but threatened them by forcing their human capital into inflation, was interpreted and mediatized as a threat to society itself. So the threat to bourgeois culture was suddenly a threat to society. That's a very old trick, and they learned it. Panic. It's a very old trick, and they learned it from the Catholic Church. A professional old-timer who did it for a long, 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 long time. Okay, that is why all those dull anti-computer images are to be found throughout bourgeois literature, art, reflection for such a long period of time. Phenomenologically, those images are as incorrect as can be. Ideologically, they represent the bourgeois culture shock of that time. Unfortunately, there is no B-movie from the 1950s called like Attack of the 50-foot computer or something like that, but I wouldn't be surprised if it shows up on YouTube tomorrow, okay? So the culture shock came in an almost lethal dose for the tools of perception of the carriers of the cultural panic, the bourgeois elite. Their basic strategy had been to ignore and prejudice and to Nostradam, to Nostradam the computer for the most part. And they managed to keep that strategy up to the 1990s. Around 1995, they surrendered to the computer that had taken over society without bringing apocalypse, without bringing downfall, without bringing end to culture. And they kind of accepted the computer, and suddenly they embraced it. They embraced the new ways of production and the new ways of communication. The educational bourgeois idiots did start to fall for the other side and embrace the computer and, of course, the possibilities of new forms of oppression, telearbeiter class, a teleworking class, and stuff like that. Now, a small jingle Where is it? I have to. Computer,
computer, computer. Computer, computer, computer. Computer, computer, computer.
Yeah. On the other side of the great cultural divide, pop music discovered and explored the computer not only as a musical instrument, but also as something to sing and think about. It got very important by that, because the conception that many people have of computers has been formed by images and ideas broadcasted through popular music. Images that came from groups such as Kraftwerk. There they are. We have just heard a little title in the beginning of their famous LP, Computer World, as a jingle. It is, of course, from the only LP that you have at home, I guess, I hope, yeah. Or there are a couple of other things that use electronic music and are pretty popular. There's, for example, Mike Oldfield's Tubular Bells, and there is Pictures of an Exhibition by Emerson, Lake and Palmer. All these people used computers. But they hardly ever sing about computers. Kraftwerk itself only sings once about a computer, and that's on Computer World. Of those images, they were influenced and guided by high culture computer panic, as well by naive technomania, I would call it, as I'm going to demonstrate towards the end of my little field trip. When computers first came into use and the word was spread, it was just one more part of the modern technological flood of innovations swapping over post-war people. And so these people's reaction was to be amazed in a highly experienced way. Oh, there's something new again. Oh, there's not only a dishwasher, it's also like an electronic brain or something. Oh, wow. But they were kind of getting used to there's more and more things happening because they were bombarded by popular culture with it, and magazines and newspapers, mostly tabloid stuff like that. But at the same time, the high cultural elite was thinking of, oh my God, there's another tabloid article about the computer. What's that? It's probably bad. Who knows? People soon began to realize that the computer was not just another machine to be used by men. They came to the conclusion that it was the first machine to resemble man in one significant aspect. It was not the first machine that tried to rebuild and optimize certain functions of the human body, but it was an imitation of the executive floor of it, the brain. So first time ever, people realized, oh, it's a machine that is actually a brain. It thinks or tries to think, or maybe nobody knew what it really is, but there was lots of hype about it. That's why people came up with the stupid nickname, the electronic brain. And this was the beginning of what you could call the war between the electronic and the natural brain in Western society. This war became one of the main plots of late 20th century storytelling, from Blade Runner to Matrix or whatever else, or now Inception. To a certain way, the Inception thing is also based on the same plot device. This is an update of that very old story that derives from the conception of a creator god. It doesn't matter if you create a dream to put someone in, or a whole society like in the Matrix, or whatever. There's a creator god, someone is creating a world, and the creature that is competing, rebelling, or just not understanding the plans of its creators, that's the interesting aspect, and that's why so many novels and films about that. And when that creature is of explicitly technological content, it starts freaking out and gets dangerous, like, for example, the Golem story from medieval Jewish Prague that has been, of course, retold, because there are only like 15 plots anyways, and they all use it again. Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, for example, is also a good image of that. And of course, it started in a time when the Industrial Revolution was overtaking Europe. The image of the fake human machine we find there is a special double bind, a mixture of sympathy and horror. This structure we find again in one of the first songs about computers. It's a country and western tune by a group called the Moonbillies. It dates back to the early 1960s, late 1950s, and was released as the flip side of their single, The Fall of Planet Earth, dealing with some space invasion, which, of course, is made audible by the means of a theremin, as it always was back then in the olden days. Good. The next example is the Moonbillies, the Lectronic Brain, because you can't sing the Electronic Brain, but you sing the Lectronic Brain. Let's find it. Where is it? Nah. Okay. Somewhere else. Electronic Brain. There it is.
Listen, now listen, and we will explain the sad, sad story of Electronic Brain. The greatest invention, the smartest of all, for he just kept the same as he stood by the wall.
I am the Electronic Brain, with the highest IQ that you can attain. I can count every star in the heavens above, but I have no heart, I can't fall in love.
He has no heart, he can't fall in love. A girl in the office where the brain was installed saw him in action and she was enthralled. She said, I love you, and where did I die? His tubes turned red and his head went aside.
I am the Electronic Brain, with the highest IQ that you can attain. I can count every star in the heavens above, but I have no heart, I can't fall in love.
He has no heart, he can't fall in love. The brain got so nervous, it nearly went mad. His wires got twisted, his switches went bad. The girl kept on bowing her love.
Now, stop. Of course, it's a sad, sad story of the Electronic Brain. Okay, so seen through the very eyes of 1950s, 1960s country and western music, the story has to be a, quote, sad, sad story to work within the boundaries of what is country music dealing with. That means that computers are great machines, the greatest invention, the smartest of all, and as an electronic brain, they outline man by the highest IQ that you can obtain. But, of course, IQ doesn't make it. As always, the next door country music buddy guys and girls feel threatened by such an amount of intellectualism, which, on top of that, is artificial. So, something that they always sensed running into intellectual capacities. Let's say there's this like giant electronic brain egghead, and of course this giant electronic brain egghead, they can outsmart us any day. But still, of course, you know, the machine, they can't fall in love. They are just like sad little things, although they're like super intellectual and can do whatever they want to do with their brains. But our heart, that's human. So it has, of course, the ability to count every star in the heavens above, but it can't. What it can't do is grab and understand stars, or let's say, can't feel them. Because you know, and that's really important about country music, feeling. Understanding always equals feeling in country music, okay? That's why country music can be so wise and so stupid at the same time. And that's why I like country music. The electronic brain is unable to feel how stars work and function within the field of human romantic feelings. It can't feel the stars above in the country music sense without any bureaucratic concerns to exact numbers, and that's its problem. So that's where the drama starts. And in the end, that very part of its body, and probably compares best to the human heart, is running thin, the battery. I haven't played that song for you, because in the end, the battery goes dry and the computer brain dies. So it's not even capable of thinking, it's dead, and yeah, and people cry about it, but you know, it's some fad, it will go away. So, the message here is clear, being human is being superior, and there is no homunculus to compete with such a perfect machine that is even capable of producing romantic feelings when the stars are shining. But that is not a big problem anyways. Human beings, or how humans are portrayed in country music. Do not panic about the computer taking over culture and everything in the 1960s at all. There are only a few songs about computers in country music. There are more songs about horses. They just smile at this one missing feature. And the missing feature is lovability and felicity, as I would call it. And at least they are not a problem, but a topic for such nice novelty songs such as Electronic Brain, or Computer Number 3, Computer Nummer 3 by France Gall. France Gall was a popular French singer, but she did some songs in German too, like the next one I'm going to play now here. It's about using computers in the field of relationship initiation and relationship management. Composed and produced by this guy, Christian Brun, who later composed such wonderful soundtracks as Captain Future. By the way, this version is not by France Gall, because I think that the version by Charlotte Marian, who did a cover version a couple of years later, is way better than the original France Gall one. So we hear Charlotte Marian singing France Gall's Computer Nummer 3. It's always the same. I hate iTunes. I so fucking hate iTunes. Not deleting there. Come on. Where is it? It's right gone. Okay. Ugh, I hate it. Yeah, they should make more songs about not working iPhones. Or users who can't use iPhone, that's probably more. Ah, there it is! Title 1! Fuck!
Größe 46, stopp!
Der Computer Nummer 3 sucht für mich den richtigen Boy. Und die Liebe ist garantiert für beide dabei. Lange war ich einsam, heute bin ich verliebt. Und nur darum ist das so, weil es die Technik und die Wissenschaft.
I'll stop. Okay. In both songs, we have computers reflected through the very concern of popular music, that is, love in all its facets. Both try simply to derive some interesting constellation of that love thing by introducing the computer. The first one is, like, the computer can't love. In this case here, it's about, romantic relationships and how the computer could help with that. The Moonbillies did bring on the version in which the computer becomes a subject in the interactions and problems of love, and they decided to show the melancholic and sad side of this interaction. There are also songs where computers can make love to people, like the euphoric synthie pop song Computerliebe, bei German Synthieband Paso Doble. You know, die Module spielen verrückt. Mensch, ich bin total verliebt. The modules are going crazy. I'm completely in love. We regard to the current role of the computer in our sex and love lives, we have to admit that with regard to the role of computers in our current sex and love life, we have to admit that this was a pretty realistic version, I have to say. France Gall's song, on the other hand, stands in the in the tradition and trajectory of techno euphoria, but it does not speak as a subject that wants to share some point of view. It is reporting data of people that want to go out on a date. It is the good servant that technology is supposed to be in the bourgeois society, where machines are produced to free people from work, to get rid of the problem of working class that causes the middle class to have a bad conscience for having to exploit them. Okay, so machines are here to clear our conscience while the ex-working class is rotting away in some out-of-sight ghettos, I'd like to add as like an old leftist. But okay, yeah. Things suddenly changed. The counterculture swapped over the clear and understandable conditions of commercial pop songs. So pop was actually and had defeated high culture, but now there was some interesting stuff going on, and it tried to destroy or approach or reappropriate pop music, and it was underground music. Pop culture and pop underground came into being with a political dimension to it. It wanted to change the conditions we live in, and here things became very, very complicated. The hippie movement brought new reflections on everything, and it changed our perception of technology. On the one hand, there were some who embraced technological progress in the hope that the new machines would bring new experiences and destroy the boundaries of the bourgeois subject. Let me name, for example, Marshall McLuhan, one of my favorite Catholics, and Buckminster Fuller, and of course, Timothy Leary, who overdid it a little bit. Okay, so he acted as an inspiration for hippie culture's notion of what one could do with technology and what technology could do to you. From that strain, a techno-futuristic cult derived, with bands and projects indulging in technology and developing a new aesthetics through playing what might be called techno music. We all know that the famous German group Kraftwerk, as a post-hippie band, but there were others working in the field who helped bridging the gap between hippie culture and new wave music. But only few of them understood the computer as the most important tool of the future, and almost nobody in the 1970s tried to rebuild musical aesthetics on the basis of a computer to bridge the gap between the hippies and the punk and new wave culture, and of course techno later on. One of these rare pioneers was an American guy named Bruce Hawk, who was rediscovered in the 1990s, and his most rare and very expensive records have now been re-released on different independent labels. Bruce Hawk was a weirdo. Yeah, that's a fact. Yeah? Making some really spaced out recordings meant to be modernist child's music. So he did music about computers and with computers for children. He programmed his music on a polyphonic synthesizer he had built himself, without any plan or diagram or nothing. He just like built it from scratch. He never studied electronics, by the way. He was a total amateur. This synthesizer provided him, and there it is, provided him with the means, quote unquote, to produce up to 12 simultaneous voices in changing sequence via memory holding over 4,000 bits of information. It also will compose at random, quote. In his lyrics, technology is presented in a way that children and high school people, his declared target group, would understand the wonders of the new age, the new world, the natural as well as the technological. Most of his songs deal with robots, but there are also a couple of interesting ones about computers and using computers. The next example is Program Me by Bruce Hawk. Okay. Nope. Of course. There it is.
My heartbeats. My brain computes, program me. I am complicated, let me be. I am...
Come on, decline.
You program me. This trip, reality, is mine if you let me be. I am love, and I am free. I am a child. Program me.
I mean, it's pretty freaky. I'm a child, program me. And it's for children. I mean, it's kind of weird, okay? But, well, I'll accept that. What is amazing here is not that Bruce Hawk is a weirdo. No. He did really incredibly strange records, which remind us of groups such as, like, later on, The Residents or later New Wave synthie pop stuff. Neither is he... It's not amazing that Kraftwerk chose the computer as a topic for the late LP Computer Welt, but Bruce Hark is very interestingly, he tries to teach people learning to love the computers and use them, but at the same time the music is so scary and so weird that you don't really know why he chose that specific format to teach people that they should embrace the computers. Program me! The computer sounds like a witch or something. It's, come here, I want to... Okay. Still, it's an interesting, like, flip side of, like, children, of course, are not stupid. They know that they're being taught things. They know that someone is telling them what to do and what not. And of course, they know that it's about education. They know about, like, yes, I have to do that now, blah, blah, blah. So maybe, I don't know. I would love to be a children, like a child being brought up with that stuff. And I don't know, but it didn't happen. I grew up with Forks Music or something. I don't know. So, Computer Welt came out in 1981. Before that, Kraftwerk, they never worked... they never used computers as topics, as lyrics. They were singing about different things, about technological and futuristic things, like about acceleration of life in Autobahn or Trans-Europa Express, and the aesthetics of robotics in Mensch-Maschine. But it took them like over 10 years to sing about a computer in Computer Welt. What is amazing is that the biggest part of the prog rock and psychedelic and avant-garde movement of the 1970s did not work with computers, they did not program music, and they were not singing about computers. So the whole avant-garde movement of the 70s pretty much like used stuff that was completely dated even back then. Instead, they preferred to indulge in the very old romantic stuff from the early 19th century. Even in the field of electroacoustics and modern classics, there are only a couple of few experiments, and nothing as weird as Hawk, I have to tell you. Nobody that had something to do with the hippie movement, maybe that's something to do with the hippie movement becoming the ecological movement, so that the hippies, certain aspects of the hippie culture was like, we don't like computers because they are not natural. You can't smoke them or whatever. I don't know. Yeah, the hippies derived their image of nature from people like the Swiss philosopher Jean-Jacques Rousseau. Nature was not just the best and most natural living space for all. Man was also conceived as a natural being, that is, animals on the ultimate level of evolution. Everything perceived as technological and unnatural threatened that ideology, and they developed an anti-technological point of view, mistaking technology for capitalist society, and so on and so on. So they were actually trying to criticize capitalism by not using technology, and that was one of the main failures of the hippie movement in the early 1970s and mid-1970s. There are literally thousands of songs in which the same old criticism of the techno-capitalist society is repeated over and over again, especially in Germany and Austria. A flood of musically quite uninteresting singer and songwriters appeared and tried, not to change the world through singing, but to make clear that morally they belonged to the axis of good. That's, from my perspective as a leftist, the only way to distinguish leftists and liberals. Because the liberals liberals, they always want to be on the right side and grimly looking for it if they don't find the right side. So liberals always want to do everything right, and that's why they fail all the time. Just look at Germany. They don't have any theoretical tools to distinguish and understand what is going on, but being very sensitive, they have an enormous ability to feel what's going on. So we feel that technology is kind of bad. We feel that people are exploited. We feel that there's something wrong. We just like hate on that. Like the first level of critique is, oh, there's something changing. It's bad. It's bad. It's bad. We don't do that. And that was kind of the same problem the bourgeois culture had like 10, 15 years before that. And the hippie culture and the liberal culture deriving from hippie culture made the same mistake. So one of the guys is Georg Danzer. His dad, in the meantime, I kind of liked him. He made a couple of good songs. But back then, in the 1970s, he was at the forefront in Austria of singing about the changing life and that people are being exploited by technology and this and that and blah, blah, blah. It's interesting that he, back then, wasn't as like neo-nationalistic as he later became with Austria 3 and all that stuff. But, let's hear the next song. And it's from the late 70s, early 1980s. And it's about the fear and hatred of the computer. And it broke loose. And he wrote a couple of songs, but that one is pretty specific. He sings about destroying computers. He proclaims that all computers should be destroyed. Georg Danzer, zerschlag die Computer. Nah. There it is. Pretty good song for smoking weed, but I don't know. Georg Danzer makes the same mistake, as I already said, that he is mistaking social critique and critique of capitalism with just like, oh well, they have things and they control us and they probably know my measurements and whatever would they do with it. To a certain extent, there is still this movement in the still going on, and our good friends of the Quintessence are representing that the Big Brother awards and stuff like that. So there is still the fear of the all controlling government and the all controlling capitalist system, who, and we have to try to bring back privacy. We have to bring back the radical gestures of that we should not be controlled by technology. The interesting thing is, it's the wrong way to do it that way. It's not the way to say, oh, this whole shit, it doesn't work, blah, 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 blah. The way is to understand it, to analyze it, to deconstruct it, and then do stuff with it. So on the one hand, it seems to be an act of rebellion against the powers that remain in control due to computer and surveillance cameras. On the other hand, he makes it very clear what the conflict is. The computers are interfering in the realm of bourgeois power, which is meant to be at home. He doesn't want to be observed at home. That's really important. The male patriarchal subject, and they are trying to get her their electronic hands on its very insignia. The computers are interfering in the realms of bourgeois power. The patriarchal subject is very important, and what he doesn't like is that they control his wife, first his wife, and second his newspaper. So that's what you not do. My wife, mine. My newspaper, mine. Okay? That's really important. So in a certain way, it's the same thinking as like an NRA guy would do in the US of A about like, from my dead cold hands, my newspaper, okay? And my wife. So we have to control our homes, we have to control our wives, and we have to control whether in our bourgeois newspapers is written. Not the computer should write it, okay? So, the pseudo-criticism of the capitalist society from this point of view, of its very product, the bourgeois subject always brings up some ideological stuff to deconstruct. Like in the next piece, we are going to hear coming from a group that belonged to the German Sacropop scene of the late 1970s. There were really many, many German music groups who played Christian songs, especially in the field of Protestantism and, of course, the Roman Catholic Church, but because the Protestants always were a little bit more open about music, they introduced rock messen and stuff like that. So services where you could hear rock music and to try to embrace the young people. The next song, it cannot be compared, this kind of music, to something like Christian pop in the US or gospels. It's something completely different and very interesting. The next song is Infomusik Bamberg, Die Nummer. Hören wir uns das mal an.
Man wird als Nummer in Computern gespeichert. Dort hat man kein Gefühl und keine Stimme. Man ist ganz einfach als Impuls registriert. Man tippt mich ein und tausend Namen. Man ist ganz einfach als Impuls registriert. Man tippt mich ein. Und tausend Amen. Man wird als Nummer in Statistiken erwähnt. Dort hat man keinen Wert und keine Würde.
Na, okay. So, man wird ganz einfach als Impuls registriert. Man tippt mich ein und aus und Amen. Great line, yeah? It sounds as if they've read McLuhan but didn't understand a single word that he was writing about, okay? Another good example of that kind of stuff can be found by a young German singer called Juliane Werding. It's her first album. Juliane Werding is, it says, a 16-year-old girl singing for a better world and singing for people. On her first LP, she had lots of songs concerned with interesting trending topics, like Am Tag, als Conny Kramer starb, about drug abuse, or Der letzte Kranich vom Annenberger Moor, about ecological problems. And of course, there is one song about a world overrun by computers. An executive named Schmidt, or Smith, like, you know, Matrix, that is to say, it's not an individual, but one of the greys, the grey people, the grey man. And this Schmidt visits companies, factories, and offices, and he's a commercial traveler for an obscure company named IBO. Maybe International Business Objects, or I don't know what they're doing. So, but it's Juliane Werding, and IBO, der Computer macht alles.
Er stellt sich vor, mein Name ist Schmidt.
really important. Der Computer ersetzt den Menschen. And there is, I did a little bit of research about her background, and she is a Protestant. Yes, I don't know. No. Der Mensch im Zentrum, the person has to be always in the center. In these pieces, all of these pieces, like a bunch of others from the mid-1970s and early 1970s to early 1990s, there are lots of songs like this. The computer is a threat to individuality and human nature itself. As we all know, the techno-capitalist society is nothing but a giant tautological machine producing alienation to be felt in each and every aspect of everyday life. We all know that it's a shitty life, but, you know, that's life. So why not try to figure out what this is and what the ideological and economical core of that mess might be and what it's all about? But liberals do not have that option because they are products of society, whatever. It's about identity. It's about handshakes. It's about staying real. That's why so many of the songs and so much cultural critique about computers is centered around the symptoms. Of the symptoms. It's always about like singing about symptoms. It's singing about that computers replace people. Well, of course. I mean, they're replacing, machines are replacing people since the 19th century? What? There's nothing new about that. So why are you now starting talking about all that crap? Yeah? We are way beyond that. The progressive leftist movement, they did it wrong. They failed. These songs are the merchandise of a regression into pre-computer age. They want to go to utopia back. They want to go back where all was nice and clear. But of course, nostalgia never ever works. So what happened is that, you see, they were thinking that they are sacrificed on the altar of technological improvement. And motherfuckers, yes. They were, but they were in a completely different way than they thought they would be sacrificed on that altar. Did you notice that wherever it comes to computers, there's a certain proto-new wave sound coming into town? If you remember computer number 3, you have this almost like a Morse code thing going on in the background. But that keeps on and on and on and on and on and on, always until a certain amount of time. So when you sing about computers, when you have the topic of the computers, and there is no strange additional sound effect needed, then you know that the computer now is cultural technology and not only nerd technology. In the punk and post-punk years, something really interesting happens because there we have it. Punk and post-punk. The punks and the post-punks, of course, the biggest enemies were the hippies. So they also sang about computers, they also sang about alienation, they also sang about the capitalist system, but they sang from a completely different perspective. Georg Danzer, Juliane Werding, Infomusik, Bamberg, all that stuff represented the wrong consciousness, and they knew it. And punk and post-punk provoked new anti-bourgeois, anti-modernist ways to deal with the subject. There's this great German art punk group called SÜF. They sang a song called Back to Concrete, Zurück zum Beton, and that was pretty much an interesting approach to do, to deal with the hippies. Yes, I mean, we know that there's something wrong, but what do you really expect us to do? Let's have some concrete here. We like it. It's good for skating. This was a reaction to the hippies post, the post back to nature approach. The confusion that punk and post-punk brought was enormous and very difficult. It's very hard to analyze punk, post-punk, and new wave songs when they sing about computer because you never can be sure are they ironic or are they really meaning what they're saying. The next song is Computerstaat by Abwärts. They're really important and it's about a paranoia classic, I would call it. We'll be right back. Wir leben im Computerstaat und Stalingrad. Das ist sehr, sehr schön, ja. Okay, so, Paranoia Classic from a time when the system waged war on... that's Computerstaat abwärts. I completely forgot the subtitles. On Sunday, all things are dead. In the Gulf of Mallorca, the world war is imminent. Stalingrad, German catastrophe nation. German catastrophe nation, we're living in computer nation. It was from a time when, of course, the German legislative branch was fighting, and the executive branch was fighting the RAF, the leftist terror group Red Army Fraction. And, of course, they used many computers to gather information about the leftist scene to discover supporters of the RAF. It was called Rasterfahndung. They still use the term Dragnet Investigation, an early computerized criminal investigation technique. But Abwärts did not do a song about the computer as a tool used by the opposite side, by the state. Computers appear only in the last line, wir leben im Computerstaat, but we get strange impressions before that, like Montag klopft es an die Tür, Arafat, der steht vor dir. On Monday there is a knock on the door, and Arafat is standing in front of you. Oder auch, am Mittwoch ist der Krieg sehr kalt, Brezhnev lauert in der Badeanstalt. On Wednesday, war is very cold, Brezhnev's lurking in the public spa. These are disparate impressions, not from the real world, but from an information society. The subject is overrun by all the information, but it's not clear whether Abwärts want to criticize the information society or if they want to make fun about the typical liberal criticism of the information society. So that's what it's so very interesting about punk and post-punk, because there are so many ways to read that songs, and the ambiguity is the really big pro in all these songs. And it's a completely different situation than the simplicities of 1970s liberalism. So the changes brought up the human condition through the modern world were one of the main items, of early punk and post-punk groups. The computer age was not in full swing yet, so computers were not yet on everyday life agenda, but there are groups like Devo who make songs about computers, but there is actually none. No. You would think that Devo made a song about a computer. No, they did not make a single song about a computer. There is I Am a Computer by this guy, Gary Newman, about scheming and becoming a new machine himself. That's pretty good, but that's a little bit later. The next song is by a group called The Gook, I don't even know how to pronounce it, a British new wave band, The Gook, and they have a similar idea than Gary Newman. They also sing about that they are the computer, but it's an interesting different perspective, and let's play it for you.
Print out. Oh, show business,
show business.
Let this right is inside out, shot by or sell it wrong decision.
Don't ask questions.
See you later.
I'll be later.
Voice decoder out of order. You're so square, so geometric.
I am a computer.
Are you a computer too?
I am a computer.
Are you a computer too?
Print out.
So that one is not about that I want to become a computer because it's a nice image. I could, like as Gary Newman, I just like behave as a computer and make songs. No, it's about that they're really singing about that we're all computers anyways nowadays, so why should we bother about it? See you later, calculator, they sing in this one. Another song of that kind comes from a widely unknown Canadian art group, a post-punk art group called The Government, and they sing not only I'm a computer, no, I'd rather be a real computer. So let's hear that one.
Da, da, da. image, organize, process, Xerox, determination, black, white, much more complicated, color generation. Regeneration! Image peak dot image process.
Coffee break!
I'd rather be a real computer. In my ear, and then I go to bars and get these numbers in my beard. Sometimes I think I'm seeing numbers in my mirror. I'd rather be a real computer.
So here we get a more adequate approach to alienation. It's not technology itself which alienates us. It's a specific condition of society's economics in which we're involved and in which we are produced as social subjects. And if you take into account what economics made of us through work, it would seem preferable to be a computer. Computers are not intruders from a technological outer space. No, that electronic subject is a new utopia. This utopia won't work for us because it does not change capitalist economics, but still it serves as a foil for criticizing it. That's the important part. Maybe the best song about computer panic may be a nice song from Germany about a bourgeois small family called Gummitwist by Der Plan. Der Plan, that's what they are. We don't need that. So the computer, Commodore 64, stuff like that. When the song came out, already computers were sold to kids and youngsters to use that stuff in a more and more interesting way. And it was something that you found under your Christmas tree, and the kids got it, didn't really know what to do with that. But at the same time, they liked it, and they were, of course, at the same time, already introduced to the computer of the future, their new workspace of the future. So I remember when my dad bought me a computer, he said, you shouldn't play too much with it, but you should learn typing. You will need that in the future. That was really important for my dad when he bought my computer. And in a certain way, that's what happened. And the next song is dealing with that, and it's also dealing with this crazy 1980s Cold War Germany, and it's one of my top favorite songs ever. Daddy, thanks for the computer.
Woher bist du? Bin von morgen, wohnt zurück, das Ding du baust. Wonach schreit der Mensch von heute, der am meisten Hirn geklaut? Ich warte Leute auf der Straße, in der U-Bahn, im Büro. Alle wollen Computer haben, keiner weiß genau wieso. Gib mir parallel Schnittstelle 64 bin Professor von Ramlow und CPU und Physik, Hi und Ramlow. Hinterlust von Floppy Chips, Pershing Fire, Apple Panic sind die Russen, unsere Feinde. Ach, die Welt ist so verwirrend. Papi, schenk mir einen Computer, Hilfe für die ganze Familie. Liebling, nimm die Rüstungsspirale, tanz den Gummitwist. Computer kann mich meine Blumen nicht mehr ohne den Computer gießen, kann ich keine Suppe kochen ohne SCD-Disketten. Wenn ich meine Socken wasche, brauche ich ein Interface. Wollen die Russen uns vermischen oder sind die Amis schuld? Russische Schutzbrechen, das Rücken, Chip und Roadshow, das von allen Dingen auf der Erde, die es gibt und geben, das weiß ich eines völlig sicher. Bald bleibt kein Wuss ist noch. Papier, schenk mir einen Computer.
Okay. So there, and one way they are criticizing the stuff. Why do we need a computer? Blah 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 blah. And if there's one thing that's real, so what was it? I just forgot it. I'm sorry. So it's really really nice how they make this twist in this nice little song made in Düsseldorf, one of the main capitals of new wave music in Germany. It's hard to translate. Mami nimm die oder Liebling nimm die Rüstungsspirale. You can't translate that to English, because the spirale is like a contraceptive thing. It's like not taking the condom, but the spirale, whatever that is in English. Und die Rüstungsspirale, taking the ad. Nice one. Okay, so what happens is that the European home, and that's what they're singing about, their European home is in danger itself. But it's not in danger from the outside world, and it doesn't have to be made safe from some external technological weird government or whatever. No, no, no. The European home itself is the problem. The European home itself is endangering itself and killing it by stuff like European Union, etc., etc., etc. So they are in a certain way formulating a bourgeois critique, but at the same time they are reflecting about the bourgeois critique and not taking themselves too serious about the whole thing, especially in a time when they never knew if next week would be a global nuclear war. Nobody knew about that. This is a very specific area of time. So the plan, they were intelligent enough to learn and understand what was going on and to reflect that stuff in their music. And on the other hand, there was still a liberal angst culture, which was afraid of being swept away by everything new under the sun. And there's this guy called Peter Schilling, and he did a song. It was a comeback, because Peter Schilling was a Schlager singer. He did Schlager music in the 70s, and he made a comeback as a new wave singer. And he that's how he looked like. And so I only have like two more songs, so I'm pretty much done right now. Schilling is very interesting because he saw that new wave bands were so successful, he wanted to do something like them. He did this LP with Major Tom, Völlig losgelöst von der Erde. That's very important. But the B-side of it is called The Noah Plan. And The Noah Plan, danger, 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 danger. It's about the global catastrophe. The interesting thing is how this global catastrophe looks like. And of course, there's a computer involved. And somehow, let's listen to it, what's going on here. Yes, there is a global catastrophe, and it's a global catastrophe of some kind of ecological dimensions. Nobody really knows what he's singing about, but it forces the computers off. I don't know how, but there is a global catastrophe, and it turns the computers off, and that makes it even worse, the whole thing. I don't know what kind of metaphor is that. Maybe about the stupid social world that doesn't work without computers, and if there's some problem going on, the computers will fail, and then everything will fail. I don't know. But the 1980s had really crazy songs about different perspectives of computers, and they were everywhere in the meantime. It could be called the age of the computer because more and more people were aware of computers and owned them. And the musical development started to do stuff like MIDI, MIDI, more and more computers used that. There were first sound cards for machines, etc., etc., etc. Even people like Neil Young had an album in 1982 called Trends. He was singing about the computer age and computer cowboys, but still very much in the vein of social criticism about the computer occupying more and more ground and that we should get back to the real world. He's actually singing that the real world has to be protected from the computer. About 20 years later, and now I'm pretty much at my end of my my talk. 20 years later, it's interesting to see that computer culture is so everyday life culture, that singing about computers is pretty much like an everyday process. This song I'll play for you now is by the famous New York anti-folkies, the Moldy Peaches. And nah, that's how they look like. And the Moldy Peaches tell the story about a kid who discovers his own homosexuality. And they use the computer to tell the story.
I tried to buy a load, but I came up short. So I fucked a little waitress in exchange for a snort. My girl's got a dick hanging out of her shorts. Me and Eric in the bathroom with the weather report.
Okay, so the Google door is open, even to homosexuality, and now you can download porn whenever you like. And for our friend Dave here, it's something very special because he wants to download his homosexual porn, and his mom shouldn't see that he's downloading like gay porn. So we see that there is a shift from a technological to a social aspect of the computer world. It is a space where you can have experiences that deconstruct the ideological content of your surroundings, and that is to say, to free you to a certain extent. After the Moldy Peaches discovered, The Moldy Peaches dissolved in the year 2000, and Kimia Dawson and Adam Green did a lot of solo projects, and the next song is a solo song by Kimia Dawson. It's a really, really sad song about 9/11. So why am I playing a song about 9/11 when I'm singing or trying to play songs about people singing about computers? It's called, that's Adam Green, by the way, and that's Kimia Dawson. And the next song is called Anthrax, the power ballad version. And it's Kimia Dawson singing about her experience of 9/11. And she uses the computer in a really important part of the song. And you'll hear. I'll play it for you.
We turned on CNN, watched the towers fall again, and realized that our lives aren't so bad. This is just a test, take it with love and you will pass. You will be rewarded. Machines, firemen, landing gear, and cement. They say that it's okay, but I say don't breathe in.
The air is filled with computers and carpets, skin and bones, and telephones and fire.
Well. In the middle of the song, she hallucinates the very moment of the catastrophe and how everything collapses. She comes up with a very strong picture of it. Everything that used to be normal and in its place gets physically confused like a huge explosion, of course. Together with skin, bones, telephones, and carpets, we get computers being in the air and actually atomized in the air. And you shouldn't breathe them in. A very intense picture of how normal computers are perceived in a completely different way now. That computers, like the computer as something very normal, something everyday, something business, is suddenly a strong, interesting lyrical form of like, hey, something happened that changes the world for fucking never now. So in the end of this long speech, we find that many conservative people who were frightened and disgusted enough by the computer to damn it were wrong. Sorry, but natural history tells you since about 6 billion years that conservative people always die. So does human history. And quite obviously, people like Georg Danzer and all Infomusic Bamberg, later on, they all used the computer. Georg Danzer was a big fan of his Apple, and he liked it, and he embraced it. But 20 years before that, he wanted to destroy it, and then he was probably crying because he caught a virus or something. It's about everyday life. Jimmy, answer me, please. It's about the Amazon of everyday life, the Amazon.com. It's about downloading porn with Devo. It's about a new way we deal with computers, a new way we perceive computers, and of course a new way we honor the heroes of the computer revolution, like Konrad Zuse, who kind of started it all. There's a wonderful song about the great Galileo Galilei of computer age, Konrad Zuse. It's by a group called Laux, and let's play it for you. The cool message is that he started the computer, he created the first computer, because he was lazy. That's original Konrad Zuse doing something with his machine. I don't know. They used that. A small ode to Zuse by Laux, and Zuse, I guess, always deserves an applause, whatever. Yeah, he needs an applause. Yeah, Zuse gets an applause. To get you out of here, I know that you're already falling asleep, I know that. A last song, it's Eurotrash. It's real Eurotrash. and it will make it easy for you to leave here. It's by a group called the Eurocats from 1996. It was a time when the people were, I know, they had PCs maybe, but it was too early for the main audience to know what the internet is and stuff like that. So they were singing a song, and they wanted to go to the Eurovision Song Contest with it. So they were applying in this like German, this old-fashioned way of like 10 or 15 groups sing, and then they pick the best one, and the best one will be sent to the Eurovision Song Contest. So they applied there. Of course, they failed because nobody knew what they were singing about. They were singing about surfing multimedia. It's a nice song, but way too early. Way too early, and that's the last one. 2 minutes, we're out of here. So, it's Eurocats and Multimedia, a song that kind of died a horrible way because it's way too early.
Komm heute Nacht ins Internet, ich warte schon auf dich. Mensch, sei ein User, geh online, im E-Mail triffst du mich. Und Klick, gehen wir auf Tour. World Wide Web folgen wir heute jeder heißen Spur.